There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, y'all say a year's worth of wages. Just imagine what you make. Don't say it, just imagine what you make. And I came out with a little box. And when I broke it, you said, there went my whole year's worth of wages. Wow. Think about it. Wow. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will may do good, do them good. But me you don't have always. She had done this. Listen, she hath done what she could. Y'all said it with me. She hath done what she could. We're just going to stop it right there. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, that you are more than able to meet every need in our life, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're more than able to work out any situation we come into, Lord. I ask you, Father, to touch and anoint, Lord, in a special way, Lord, each and every one of us, God. Help us to see and know that you're here with us and that you're working in our midst. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. And the church said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Now get somebody a high five, low five, no five, and just say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Guy goes into a pet shop, a redneck goes into a pet shop. I was in the pet shop listening. The redneck walks to the pet shop. He was none too smart. He said, can I buy me a goldfish, one of them goldfish? And the owner said, sure. Said, you want an aquarium? He said, I don't care what sign it is. I got it. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Okay, two snakes are going down the road, and one looks at the other. The snake one looks at the other and says, are we poisonous? And the snake number two says, I don't know why. He said, number one said, I just bit my lip. Going downhill all the way. Okay. This is the last week you'll see this, but I just had to put it up here again because some of y'all didn't see it last week, and it was awesome. I'm going to ask you, who is this? Buzz Lightyear, what is he known for saying? To infinity and beyond. Amen. Well, you know what? Buzz Lightyear is a character in a book, and even he can't do it all, and he has to bow at the name of Jesus. Amen. Only God has infinity and beyond, because God was here before anything else was. God's going to be here when it's all over. Amen. So God to infinity and beyond. Remember we talked about last week, that's not Goot, that's God. G-O-D with a cross over top of it. So y'all say God, God, not Goot. Say God, infinity and beyond. Amen. So here it is, just quickly. God has power. He was here before. He'll be here when it's through. He's got a plan. Man's going to reign with him forever. He sent Jesus. That's his passion. Jesus came to save us, and he has principles. He sent his word. Now, in his word, you'll find anything that you need to be able to handle whatever comes against us. Somebody say, whatever comes against us, God can handle. Say that. That's right. God has told us that we can do this now. So God wants us. He wants us to be able to touch this world to infinity and beyond. Look at somebody and say, God wants you to touch the world to infinity and beyond. Amen? So now watch this. Now watch. Here it is. The excellent lifestyle. Here it is, part two. She did what somebody else could do. Jesus said, let her alone because she did what she couldn't do. What did Jesus say? She did what she could do. Moses, what's in your hand? Not what's in the bush, Moses. What's in your hand? Not what are you looking for? I hear people all the time telling what they're going to do. If I had a quarter for every time I heard somebody tell me what they're going to do, I could take y'all all out and let you pick your own steak at the steakhouse today. What they're going to do. Amen? So she did what she could do to infinity and beyond. Let me just set this up a little bit. I'm trying not to keep you too long. We'll be out of here by at least 1:30 because I've got a funeral I got to preach it to. So. Okay, get ready. I'm practicing up on y'all. Oh, that ain't good. This was the last stages of Jesus' ministry. I mean, this is the last week. He's on the way to the cross. He knows that he's trying to tell his guys they're not listening. Has Jesus ever tried to tell you something and you weren't listening? Your ears all stopped up. Their ears were all stopped up. Their hearts were stopped up. And during this last week, celebration and tragedy was walking hand in hand. The disciples were getting excited because they were thinking Jesus is going to set up an earthly reign. Jesus is going to set up an earthly reign, and they're going to be able to sit on the right hand, one on the left. James and John sent their mama to go ask him. Mama, you ask him. We're trying. He ain't listening to us. Mama, you ask him for us. Get us on the right hand, on the left hand. All talking about who's the greatest. All this is going on. But celebration and tragedy was walking hand in hand. Every life in here, if you look at your life, there is some celebration and tragedy walking hand in hand. Amen? So look, so here's what's going on now. It said they sought, which means they sought to do him harm, but they didn't just seek it. They said he tried by craft, meaning they were trying to bait the trap. You know, if Satan comes at you head on, you can pretty well take it. But he doesn't want to come at you head on. Satan wants to bait a trap. He wants to get you in there without even paying attention, and he wants to swoop down and take you out of here. So listen, you got to understand, that's his ploy. Amen? So don't be taken over by it. Now the leaders, they plotted his death, and he was surrounded by his critics, and he was surrounded by enemies, and they were all, no matter what he said, he wasn't right. Do you know some people that you get around no matter what you say, you're not right? I heard this question one time. If a man goes in the woods and nobody's around him and he speaks, is he still wrong? The guys got that. Okay. All the ladies are going, huh? Okay. So look. So he's finding his comfort through fellowship. And so he's trying to find his fellowship to bring some comfort. He knows that he's getting ready to face the most horrible of deaths that can even be imagined. It was prepared to be the most gruesome, painful way to die. Here's a man that did nothing that's getting ready to die this terrible death. And so he's looking for comfort. He's looking for fellowship. And he finds a woman who takes advantage of this, and she gets to Jesus. And to love him and to serve him, she does what she can do. Remember? How many in here said, if I could play the piano like that person, if I could sing like that person? I got up behind Brandon today and said, put your arm behind you. He said, what are you doing? I got behind him and he was doing the guitar here and I was strumming it. And he said, what's that? That's how we were doing in PCDC Thursday night. It was just you and me, and we were doing just like that. So again, she did what she could do. Everybody in here can do something. There's not a person in here that can do absolutely nothing for Jesus. There's not a person in here that's so young or so old you can't do anything for Jesus. So watch this. Satan, he actually desires to halt the work of God. Did you know that? Surprise, surprise. He wants to halt the word of God. Here's how he does it. There's three ways he comes into each and every one of our lives. And here's how he halts the work of God through us for him. Get ready. First, he tells you that what you've got is very insufficient. You don't have enough ability. You don't have enough resources. Has he ever told you that? You're not smart enough. You can't talk good enough. You can't play good enough. You can't sing good enough. You can't read the Bible good enough. You don't know enough of the Bible. You don't have the right kind of degree, blah, 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 blah. He loves, that's his number one thing. He tells us that we are not sufficient to handle the job. That's the first way he does it. The second way is he just overloads us. How does he overload us? Trials. Trials come our way, and when trials come our way, they come away for a special reason. Trials come to break your focus. So that's what Satan does when he brings trials. You think he's just trying to hurt you? Let me tell you a little something. He's not just trying to hurt you. He's trying to break your focus. While you're busy working in this trial, while you're busy trying to put everything back together, while you're busy trying to let God help you even put it back together, your focus gets broken because now you're no longer looking ahead where you should be. Now you're looking around. And so he gets you. Then here's another way. Thanks to cell phones and thanks to computers, this is a big one. And thanks to some of the crazy things they've come up with in our life to keep us busy, preoccupation. You know, I got almost insulted the other day because somebody, I walked into Starbucks and somebody almost spilt their coffee on me because they were working on their, they were typing on their cell phone. And the reason she almost spilled her coffee on me is because the other person ran into them, they were typing on their cell phone. And if I hadn't looked up from typing on mine in time enough, they'd have hit me. Guilty dog bites or barks. Okay, but see, here's what Satan tries to do is, again, activity. Not a trial, just an activity. You don't realize that when he's putting activities in front of you, and this even accounts for even if there's things that you wind up being addicted to. Activity. And you can put addictions. It's there to break your focus because now when you're in trials, you're trying to get by. But when you're in activity, your focus is broken. Now you're doing your own thing. And so it's very important that we watch this stuff, that what Satan is trying to do to us. So now watch this now. She did. Y'all say it. Amen. With what she had. She wasn't worrying about what everybody else had. She wasn't worrying about what was going on around her. She had what she had, and she did it. I hear people talk, and I'm guilty of this too. Sometimes you hear people talk about this, and when you hear them talk, you see them that they think of what they would do. I hear it all the time. Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I'll tell you what I'd do. Usually the person that's going to tell you what they would do has no idea what you're going through. Amen? Never worked at your job, never worked with your people. If I was there, I'd tell you what I'd do. I can tell you what you do, the same thing I do, or you wouldn't have a job. Amen. Intimidated. Well, if I was working, I'd never work at that swing shift. I'd tell you what I'd do if I was on third shift. Yeah, you'd keep your eyes open the best way you could. Sometimes we think of what we would do. That, and people that live in this is a mode they live in. A mode. Y'all say mode. I didn't say commode. Mode. Here's the mode they live in. Watch this. The life is overshadowed with what if. If I had certain talent, if I had certain skill, if I had certain ability, then I would do something for Jesus. How many's ever heard that? Don't raise your hand, but how many's ever said that? Okay? I know. I remember I was a bit dog and I've said it. Then there's some that all they do is complain about what others do. Why them? God, why are you giving them talent? They're wasting it. Why'd you give it to them? They don't even want to use it. Why'd you let them do this? They don't even act like they care. If I could do it, I'd show you how. Anybody? Ever been there? I've been in all these positions. I'm not here pointing out without one pointing back, I can tell you. So now, then there's those that complain about what others do. Their life is overshadowed by why not somebody else? Who, that's the same thing. Oh, don't do. I'm sorry. I thought it was. Hold on. It was those tears yesterday from that wedding. I have to tell it. Y'all going to hear it anyway. In the part where I said, and when it's God's will for the procreation of children and their nurture and knowledge and love of the Lord, she told me on the practice rehearsal, don't do that because they're not planning on having any kids. I did it anyway. I don't know if y'all watched or not, but whoever was here when I did, I looked down at her and smiled and kind of winked. So some people complain about what others don't do. Their life is overshadowed by why not somebody else? Okay, so here's some things we find ourselves in, some positions we find ourselves in. But just quickly watch this. This woman, she did something. She sought out of her best. This is how we do this. This is how you take what you've got and use it for God. She sought out of her best. All right. She counted the cost and then she gave it freely. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you actually sought out your best for God? You've heard me say it before. I can't tell you how many times I'll be out in the yard working and somebody ride by the church and go, well, we were on the way to dump, preacher, and we thought the church might could use this. We were on the way to the dump. We were going to throw it away anyway, but we thought maybe the church could use it before we threw it away. All right. You don't want it. You don't think it's even worth even fixing. You're going to throw it away, but give it to the church. They'll use it. Well, see, She sought out of her best. She counted the cost, and she gave it freely. Amen? So now watch this. This is so awesome. This is some awesome stuff. I'm going to tell you something a little bit about what she's got going on here. Watch this now. Worship is worship. Do you know that? You say, well, I sure don't seem to get much out of that worship. Maybe it's because you don't see the worth-ship of it. You only get, look, how many here works computers? How many there work a computer, program a computer? Well, I was around when they first started doing this stuff back in, we had all great big old things, big as this room here, computer stuff. And all of a sudden they started having personal computers or PCs, and they brought them in, and then we started using those, and we had to convert. And I mean, I remember all that stuff, and I was in charge of it where I worked at. It was just some wild stuff. But there was one thing I learned quick, and that was G-I-G-O. How many know what G-I-G-O means? You learn it very quickly when you're programming. Garbage in, garbage out. Amen? So now, whatever, when you're worshiping, it don't matter who's around you. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter if nobody's worshiping. It don't matter if the guitar player's got one string and it's broke. It don't matter if the person singing sounds like they had just been run behind a drug behind a truck, and they're here, can barely sit up and talk. Worth-ship. What's it worth to me to worship Him? You know, when I get that in my mind, then I can worship Him no matter if anybody else is worshiping Him or not. When the word's coming out, you'll hear me. When I'm sitting there and the word's coming out, do you hear me? Do you see me sitting there looking down, doing nothing? I'm worshiping with the people. I'm getting involved in the sermon. You know, when people are singing, I'm getting involved. I'm staying involved in what's going on. Why? Because I know the worth of this. It's not about y'all, it's about Him. And when it's about Him, I can worship Him anytime, anywhere, any day. So here it is. She had this ointment. It was myrrh oil. This myrrh oil, along with spikenard, it was mixed together. Nard means is from India, and it's pure, unadulterated. She had this myrrh oil mixed with spikenard. And so this ointment was mixed together. It was very, very expensive. Matter of fact, here's what they described it as. They said it was precious. That word precious means extremely expensive, to the very end limit expensive. I mean, this is, y'all think of, in your own mind, if I said, will you go out and buy, how many here could just, don't raise your hand, if you raise your hand, you hurt my feelings. How many here could just go out right now and sign and drive and get you a Lamborghini? Please don't raise your hand, you'd hurt my feelings. Because either you got it or you're lying. Now, I'm just playing. If you could, that's fine. I would rejoice with you, and you let me ride with you, it'd be fine. I didn't even look like a little dog with my head stuck out the window. Can you see a Lamborghini with doors open, my head stuck out? Okay. But that's one of those cars to the very limit. I've seen cars that, fountain power boats. Our lowest, when I was there 10 years ago, the lowest, cheapest boat was a 25-foot fishing boat, and it was $50,000. The most expensive boat we made was $1.5 million. And if they were probably went a lot higher than that after time went by, but $1.5 million. Can you imagine being on a boat that cost $1.5 million? Yeah, it was a yacht. It was a 65-foot yacht. It would go 70 miles an hour. It's a house. It's a house. I mean, it was such a big house. It was amazing. But anyway, about it, getting back to it, that is what I'm talking about here. This is very precious, very expensive, to the very end limit, very costly. And she did what she could do with what she had. So that's what's going on here. So now watch this. I'm almost through. That doesn't mean I'm finished. It means I'm almost through. Do you know that the church world is paralyzed by procrastination? We're always talking about what we're going to do. What we're going to do, if we had this, we'd do this. And we're always talking about all the things we're going to do. And we wind up, we're just paralyzed by procrastination. There's three words that when I hear these words, I know that procrastination is going to be involved. Of course, you know what procrastination is. putting it off till you can do it better or whatever. You know, I've been thinking about joining the Procrastinators Club myself, but I just keep putting it off. Here it is. Some are going to do something sometime. Some are going to do it tomorrow. Some are waiting for the right time. Now that can be wisdom if that's not your go-to word. If these aren't your go-to words, that can be wisdom. I'll wait till tomorrow because I know tomorrow the sale starts tomorrow, so we're going to buy something for the church. We'll wait till the sale happens. Or we're waiting for the right time. I would buy this phone, but they told me another one's coming out in about 3 weeks if I can just wait. That's why my phone, I was having all those problems with. I was waiting because they said there was a better time coming, and I waited and got a better price. Okay, so that's okay. But if you're just procrastinating, your key words are going to be sometime tomorrow, waiting for the right time. Here's the root causes. Watch this. The root cause of procrastination is fear. Did you know that? That's the root cause. And I'm going to tell you six things, and then we're going to move on. Number one, hurt. If you've been hurt, it'll cause you to procrastinate. Number two, if you've ever failed, you're scared of a failure replay. You don't want it to happen again. Number three, just inability. Number four, change. Change scares you. Number five, people's opinions. And number six, success. Sometimes people get paralyzed by success because they said, DC said that Sierra at the World Series, they were playing at the World Series. They're still there. They got a game today, but they were playing. And said Sierra hit a hard line drive. And it went, I think it was the pitcher, went right to the pitcher. And the pitcher kind of went and called it. And then she went, "Hey, I called it!" You know what? That kind of lets me know that she weren't thinking she was going to catch it. She had no. Look, watch this. If the ball comes your way and you go, you weren't expecting to catch that thing. Okay? So now, here we go. She saw the opportunity and she took advantage of it. She saw it. She didn't just see it. She seized it. You know, it's one thing to see an opportunity. It's another thing to seize it, just to grab a hold of it and then secure. So this is what this lady did. So here we go. Just a couple more slides and we will be through, I promise. We won't procrastinate any longer. Y'all people are so good. All right. Let me tell you something. She did what she could do regardless of the critics. They were all talking about how expensive it was and why didn't she use it to pay the poor and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for a time that there's not going to be a critic, you'll never do anything. You'll be criticized the rest of your life. Every last one of us, you are going to be criticized. If being criticized hurts your feelings, your feelings are going to get hurt a lot. You're going to be criticized. Look at somebody and say, "You're going to be criticized. I didn't like the way you did that. Do it differently." Then you just hear me criticize you. Okay. Number two, there's always a chance. God still puts chances in front of you to make a difference, and there's always a choice. I'm just going to talk real quickly about these two guys, and then we're moving on. Saul in 1 Samuel 15, the Amalekites, he was told to destroy them all, save none. He listened to the people, he saved the king, and he saved the best of the animals, and he lost his kingdom because of it. He had everything right there. And then when he goes up there and he tells the prophet, said, "I've taken care of everything," he told Samuel. Samuel says, "What's that bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cow?" He said, "Well, I feared the people. I listened to them versus God. And I didn't kill all of them. I saved them." And he says, hey, sacrifice. I need you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. All right. And then my favorite is David. David goes up and Goliath says, "Who is this big guy with his big mouth?" He says, "And what's the reward?" And he says, "I'll take him." And his brothers say, "Look at you. You're just trying to make a name for yourself." He did. Yes, he did. Yeah. Okay. So there's always going to be critics. And here we go. Let's get to here and then we're quitting. Number one, her motive was right. "For you have the poor of me always, whensoever you will, you may do them good, but you don't have me always." She knew her motive was right. Her actions were right. And she was unselfish. Verse 3, says that she broke the box, this very precious ointment, broke it and poured it on his head. It was unselfish. It was compassionate. Said she had done what she could do. She's come to anoint my body to the burying. And it was also prophetic, for it was for his burying. She didn't even know he was going to die. She just knew that she was taking care of business. She set a good example. Verse 6, Jesus said, let her alone. Why you trouble her? She's wrought a good work on me. Let me ask you a question. And it was rewarded for the sacrifice of love. For it said, wherever the gospel is preached, she's going to be spoken of. She went to infinity and beyond by breaking that box, infinity and beyond. Infinity and beyond. Let me ask you a question. I'm not asking you, are you doing what you want to do for God? I'm asking you, are you doing what you can do? Because if you're waiting to do it exactly the way you want it, it may never happen. Do what you can with what you got. Look, a bird in the hand. I never understood that when I was little. Well, after I got older, I did. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Why? I may have an old scrawny bird in my hand, but there it is. I remember one time years ago, I took me and DC and Daniel's mama and Bethany's mama. I took her fishing on the coast. And she wanted to go fishing on the coast. So we go on this long, long pier. And we don't have all these big old fishing gear like everybody else has got because we're used to fishing in these creeks. These guys have got these $500 fishing poles. They're throwing out almost to the other pier. Well, two lessons were taught to me that day. The first lesson was we walked out and Daniel's mama had this itty bitty ice cream bucket. About that big around and about that tall. And she's walking out just a happy swinging that thing. And I said, what is that? She said, that's my bucket for my fish. I said, you call that a bucket? She said, where's yours? I had nothing. And so we go out there, and I'm going to be like those big guys with those big, great big rigs. And they're throwing out my way out there, and I took mine. I put the biggest weight I could find. I'm throwing it as far as I can throw it. And she just gets over the edge of the pier and hits the button. And it goes, boom. And I said, do you mind? These people are watching us. She said, I don't care. Pull it up and look and go, hit, and going down again. She's just standing like that. I'm throwing way out like the rest of the guys. All of a sudden, I hear her go, I got one! And she pulls it up. I even got to take it off the hook for her. So I'm taking off the hook, putting that little bitty bucket. And she drops it down again. But I noticed something. All those big guys, all that big fishing equipment kept going. And then pretty soon, they quit going like this. And before we left, they were right up. It was like we were having a group hug. We were all up here. And everybody's going, pluk up. That taught me a lot that day about faith. That taught me a lot about not worrying about how everybody else is doing it. Do it how God tells you. Go ahead. Let it rip. Let it rip. Do what you can. And you know what? Are we doing what we can do for infinity and beyond? I want everybody to stand. Daniel, go out there and play something, bro. Our God is awesome. And God's wanting us to do something to infinity and beyond. Don't just do something that's going to make you feel good now. Do something that's going to make God proud of you to infinity and beyond. God has given you His very best. How many knows that? God has given you His very best. The least we can do is give Him ours. Amen. The least we can do is give Him ours. God is awesome all the time. God is awesome. Let me ask you a question. Have you thought about it lately? It's so easy. It is so easy to start thinking I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm wore out. I don't have enough of what it takes. And God's saying, quit giving me excuses. Tell me what you got. There was a a church in this little community. And there was this little kid, just as poor as poor could be. His parents didn't even take him to church. He went to church on his own. And he went there one day and they said, and they heard, "Dinner on the grounds." He said, "Bring potluck, bring what you can." And so this little boy went home. All he had was, in the house, was two old crusty pieces of bread and some that peanut butter that when you scrape it across the bread, it tears the bread. So he makes him a peanut butter sandwich. And he goes back out there with the church on the grounds. And this one woman saw him sitting all by himself, getting ready to eat that sandwich. That's all he had. That's it. And she went to him and she said, "Oh, peanut butter sandwich. That's awesome. We'd all love to have some of that." She said, "Come over to our table." So he came over to the table and she took his peanut butter sandwich and she laid it on the plate and she took her knife and she cut it in about 8 pieces. And everybody took a piece of the sandwich. Then she took a plate and she put fried chicken, mashed potatoes, cream corn, cornbread, collards, and she gave it to him. And a piece of that peanut butter sandwich. That little boy had no idea what was going to happen to him that day. But he found out when he gave what he could. It's amazing what God can do with an old crusty peanut butter sandwich. All I got is a crusty peanut butter sandwich. But when I give it to God, it's amazing what he can do with it. Amen. Oh, we all of us have got this old crusty peanut butter sandwich. When you give it to God, look what he can do with it. Today, first off, I just want you to, all that will, just come on up here. Come on up here, all that will, come on up here. And I just want you to say, "Lord, I'm here. This is me. I'm fresh. I'm new. Just take me all over again. Lord, just renew me. Just renew me all over again. I want to be used by you. I want to give you what I can. I want to do what I can with what I got." Come on. Not someday, tomorrow, at a better time. God, I want to do for you what I can with what I got. It's time. It's time. God, I want to do what I can for you with what I've got. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. I want to do for you what I can with what I've got right now. Not some other time, not tomorrow, but now. I want to do what I can with what I've got. I thank you, Lord. I want to do what I can with what I've got. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You have got it together, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome. You're an awesome God. Father, help me do what I can with what I got. Help me do what I can with what I got. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. How many times you've taken that crusty peanut butter sandwich of mine and made it a feast. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. God is awesome all the time. God is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. Sing it, church.
Dark clouds rise.
They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me. Shall harm me, and for I'm sheltered in the
arms of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're sheltered in His arms. Please remember, it was my Aunt Juanita Batella. The Batella family